along and do what thus said the Lord our God. If you will, turn with me to the book of Joshua. Last week, God blessed us out of chapter 6. This morning, we are going to chapter 24. God bless on last week. I thought about preaching that same message this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. But we're going to move on and do what God told me to do. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Joshua 24, beginning at verse 13, the Bible reads, "And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not. And ye dwelt in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards, which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in serenity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Supporting scriptures say Matthew 21, 12, and 13. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." On the basis of those verses this morning, we'd like to use a thought or a subject. It depends on whose house you're in. It depends on whose house you're in.
It should be ever shining. Somewhere in the depths of our souls. Hallelujah to his name. We give honor to the Lord and we thank God for the choir this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're here on another homecoming Sunday morning. We have invited guests that will be coming and sharing with us for dinner at 1:30. And with more spiritual food at 3 o'clock through the vessel of Pastor Wyatt. But this morning, we are here. And we are here for the mere purpose of lifting up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. It's homecoming and it's revival time on the corner of Dixie and Smith, and we ought to be excited about what Jesus is going to do this week. And I wonder, is there anybody in here this morning that has been praying that God's will shall be done this week? Not what I want, not by my will, but let thine will be done. And I believe that if we would learn to let go and let God, I believe that our blessings will come a lot faster. I believe that we will recognize our blessings when they come, because all of us in here are blessed this morning. But there are those of us that don't recognize or acknowledge our blessings, because some of us think that we are lucky. Some of us think that we worked so hard that we got everything that we got because of our own sacrifices. But I come to share with you this morning that everything that you own comes from the Lord our God. I'm thankful that on homecoming, I do pray. I know that it's 10 minutes after 12, and I just got up, and you know, once I get crunk up, I'll go. But let me get crunk up first. Don't get weary on me. Don't get to that place where you're ready to go. We got dinner being prepared downstairs by some wonderful cooks. Hallelujah, Jesus. But I brought you some food that you're not going to get anything to happen down on the inside. If you're like me, and every now and then you get a little congestion down on the inside. But I want to let you know this morning that this word that I got for you, it'll feed you when you get hungry. It'll fill up every empty spot that is in your body. This food that I'm talking about, it won't run your sugar up. You don't have to worry about taking your blood count after you get through digesting this word. This food that I'm talking about, it's that food that's going to last you, not only this afternoon. You know how when we eat physical food, we have to eat in 2 or 3 more hours? I'm going to give you something that ought to stay with you for a while. Me and God was in the kitchen last night making preparations for a meal. God realized that when you go to somebody's house to eat, how many of you don't eat in anybody's house? Oh, you might as well be honest this morning. We have that mindset, I'm not going to eat in anybody's house. I don't care how hungry I am. But then there's somebody here that might be a witness that I used to wouldn't eat in anybody's house, but I got hungry enough. Every now and again, you get above that what you used to do and what you say you won't do. That's why somebody say never. Because that one that you say you never take nothing from, that might be the one to give you a loaf of bread. That one that you say that you never speak to anymore, that might be the one that bring you your medication. See, that last year you cussed them out when they were walking down the street, but they done went and got them a little education, and now they working at the hospital. Looking down at you. Do you remember? Do you remember when you cussed me out? What am I going to do about you? You better be careful how you treat any and everybody now. We go to church week after week and we cry, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. And most of us pray every now and again. And I wonder how many of us prayers are getting through the roof. We ought to be talking to a God that hears us when we ask him for something. So many of us have got so caught up in our own way that we forgot about doing things God's way. Revival time. It's time for us to slow down and let God be God. The word of God said, be still and let God be God. If you let God be God, then he will work out some things in your life. By the mercy and the grace of God, he has blessed us to be together on another homecoming Sunday morning. Lifting up the mighty name of Jesus, praying and making preparations for a spirit-filled revival. During this week, we are hopeful that souls will be saved, that those that are bound may be delivered. The psalmist asks the question, wilt thou not revive us again? I wonder why David asked that question. Think about from last revival to this revival this year. We did some right. And every one of us in here done some wrong. I don't care whether it was physically or mentally. You looked out of them eyes of yours with a judgmental spirit. That was wrong. When you looked at that man or that woman walking up and down the street, and instead of saying, Lord, have mercy, you said a whole lot of other things about them. That was wrong. When you come into God's house and you think that it's all about you and nobody gonna feel nothing because you not doing anything, that is wrong. When you get in a place in your life where you can't hear nobody but Pastor K, you're gonna miss your blessing, that is wrong. Wilt thou not revive us again? We're in it together. Most of us, we sit in the house and we look out. And as long as it's somebody else's family that is going through, We feel like everything is all right. We have that spirit of hallelujah anyhow. But I found out that when I'm going through hell in my life, if I could still have the option to tell God, thank you. Thank you for letting me recognize what I'm going through. Thank you for letting me know that I don't do everything just right, because I got to humble myself. Every now and again, you better get down on bended knees. Some of us are so proud. Boastful. I'm grown. I'll do what I want to do. We got some grown folk in here that are going to bust hell wide open. It's revival time. What is revival all about? Revival is not only for the sinner man, but it's for the deacons, it's for the preachers, it's for the choir members, it's for the ushers, it's for those faithful few that's always holding up the bloodstained banner. How many of you know that faithful few get tired every now and then? So revival time is that time, faithful few, you to come back and get replenished, to be restored, to get back some of that time and circumstances and situations has drained out of you. I wonder, is it anybody in here ever been on the mountaintop? You're on the mountaintop and you feel good down on the inside. You got a big smile on your face. You got joy in your heart. And you got love for all, brother man. Devil see you. Devil don't like it because you've been blessed like that. Devil don't like it when somebody get up and just declare the gospel. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Devil don't like it when you tell God's people that if you don't get your act in order. Time for us to get our houses in order this morning. It's revival time. The enemy is already ready to rob you. The enemy want to get your mind right now. Take your attention off the word of God. And I come to tell you this morning that when we talk about coming into the house of God, we ought to start praying before we get to the door. When we are driving on our way, we ought to be driving saying, Lord, I just want a blessing this morning. Anybody ask God for a blessing before you got here? I wonder this morning, how many of you think or believe that God would give you what you've asking him for? I got pretty good hearing. I can't see that good, but I got pretty good hearing. When I asked that question, a whole lot of you didn't clap. So since you didn't pray on your way, you mind praying now? We can't have revival without prayer. We can't accomplish anything without prayer. And anybody can pray. You don't have to be a preacher to pray. You don't have to be a deacon to pray. You don't have to have an office to pray. All you got to do is have a mouth and a knee. Open up that mouth of yours and tell God what you want. Anybody in here know how to pray? Oh, that sound better. That sound better. I remember the old saints used to say, anyway, you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. We got some peculiar saints now. The word said that we are peculiar people, but oh, I don't believe God realized what he had made. We so strange now, we can't even feel the goodness of God because we are so caught up in ourselves. You already done dolled up. You look as good as you're going to look today. Still up in here primping and looking at yourself. Don't look at yourself. You want to look at something? Look at Jesus. When we think this morning about our thing, it depends on whose house you're in. We look at the word house. Webster gives the definition as a building to live in, a provision of dwelling. Then we have a place called the house of prayer, which is God's house. When I think about house. And when I began to think about this message, I was reminded of one of my favorite artists, the late Luther Vandross. Anybody remember A House Is Not a Home? Oh, yeah, we know that, don't we? Yeah! Luther did! I see now I'm the only one that liked it. I started to call David and tell him to pull it up because I can't remember some of the word, but I know it has something in there. I got some help in here. I know it has something in there that a chair is not a chair. That's it. Anybody can say amen for the witness this morning. But the essence of what I liked about that song is that he said a house is not a home. Even though it's been said home is where the heart is, if there's no love in the house, it's just a whole bunch of fancy furniture and it's a place where somebody lives. But if it's a home, it's full of love. If it's a home, it's a place where you don't have sunshine every day, but on your cloudy days, if it's a home, you learn how to cherish it and hang in there. In a house, you can get put out of a house, but a home, somebody will come and help you save your home. When we come into God's house, we ought to not just be coming in here thinking about the beautiful pews or the beautiful light. We ought to be coming with a praise of worship. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There was great joy and anticipation of going into the house of God. David realized that this is my Father's house, and in my Father's house, there is peace. And I'm sure there are some this morning that know what it is to have a house full of peace. We got to have a house where we can go and lay down our weary heads. We got to know that when we come into the house of God, that we ought to find the spirit of meekness. We ought to find a spirit of truth. We ought to find a spirit of love in the house of God. If God was to demand an answer from us right now, could you really say that you have your house in order? Are you ready for Jehovah's return? I knew Markeisha was going to laugh at that. One thing about these movies, these young folk remember certain things. And I learned that if you just throw out a little bit of it, it grabs their attention. Now, in that comedy part of that movie, and they're talking about it, and I can't go there because that's a crazy movie. But nonetheless, the question is an important question. Are you ready for Jehovah's return? And now you may have gotten a laugh at the movie, but now while we are here in the house of God, while we're here thinking about our soul salvation, are you ready? Ask yourself that question. Am I ready for Jehovah's return? Do I have my house in order? Or will I allow anything to go on in my house? Now, I'm through messing with you now. It's time to move on a little higher. It says it depends on whose house you're in. Now, when it comes to our houses, we know that everybody got their own set of rules for the household. What you can do in this house, you can't do in that house over there. You ever heard somebody say, as long as you stand up under my roof, you're going to follow my rules? You ever heard somebody say, I don't care if you are grown, if you're staying under my roof, then my door's going to be locked at 12 o'clock. You got to come in at 12 o'clock or find somewhere else to go. It depends on whose house you're in. In some houses, there's fussing, cussing, lying, and stealing. Depends on whose house you're in. Whole lot of mess going on all the time. Depends on whose house you're in. But now there's some houses you know I can't act like that in that house. Bring your children over, children all over the house. There wasn't no kind of way. You weren't supposed to do that. Sit down in the living room. Now God done bless us. Some of us got a den and a living room, so now our children are all confused. I grew up with just a living room. Now where I used to call the living room, I call it a den. But now the children still run in my living room. It's amazing how things change. As you get older, you get a little bit softer. Because I can remember a time when nobody going in the living room. Anybody in here got that living room that if you go in there, you've been invited? Oh, come on, church. You got to be special company to go sit in the living room. And one thing about that special company know how to take care of your stuff. They go in there and they sit down like somebody. Some folk ain't used to having nothing, don't want to have nothing, don't want you to have nothing, and don't know how to tell their children to sit down. How many of you ever said you might do that at your house, but you ain't going to do it over here? It depends on whose house you're in. Somebody have got to make a stand. Somebody's got to have in their mind that I'm not going to allow anything to go on in my house. Somebody got to be man or woman enough to stand up and take care of what God has blessed you with. Sometimes you got to understand that they're not being funny. They're not being overly particular. They just want you to help them take care of what God has given them. When you know, when you work hard to pay for what you got, you don't want somebody to come in and just tear your stuff up. Because I'm sorry, don't buy you a new table. I'm sorry, not going to buy you a new vase. I'm sorry, not going to clean up your carpet. Oh, you can say I'm sorry, you can look all pitiful, but you ought to get your children on up. Watch them. In our text this morning, we're dealing with a man by the name of Joshua. Joshua was the one that led the children of Israel after the death of Moses. Joshua, as a young man, served in the tabernacle. He and Caleb were the two among the 12 spies that brought back a favorable report. We find under the leadership of Joshua that Israel entered into Palestine with a promise of the land, the presence of God, and the law of the Lord. But when we get to the 24th chapter, we realize that now Joshua realized that I'm an old man now. But if you will allow me to back up to the 23rd chapter, we find in the 23rd chapter, the word of God says, and it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all of their enemies around and about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Joshua called for all the children of Israel, for all of the elders, and for all of their heads and their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and I'm stricken in age. Ye have seen all that the Lord your God have done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God, it is he that have fought for you. Joshua realized that now that I'm an old man, I got just enough time to give one final message. In this message, I want you to know that you can't go back to doing the thing that your fathers used to do on the other side of the flood. Joshua realized that even under my leadership, I've seen how you will love God one day and the next day you will serve another opposite God. But I got time enough to let you know that you can't do things any kind of way. Don't you know that you got to be courageous and keep on doing what the Lord God told you to do in the law of Moses? That you turn not aside, therefore, to the right hand or to the left. other words, Joshua said, now you've been given the laws of God. And you cannot compromise the laws of the Almighty God. Joshua realized that I just have just enough time. Now when we get to the 24th chapter, the Bible says Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel together again. And Joshua said unto the people, Joshua realized, I'm going to have to give you a little history lesson. See, every now and again, you forget where you come from. Joshua realized, I got to take you back and let you know that the Lord God that I'm talking about, he is the one. He's the one that brought you out of the land of bondage. He's the one that was there when everybody came up against you. He is the one that made a way out of no way. I stopped by to let you know that Joshua wanted the people of God to know that all you got to do is trust the power of the Almighty God. Don't you remember when you got backed up against the Red Sea, that all God did was just split up to open the Red Sea? And all of those enemies that were behind you, they drowned in the Red Sea. Don't you remember how the Lord began to make a way out of no way? Don't you know when you got over Jordan and when you got over on the other side and the Lord God had promised you a land? Don't you know when you got there to Jericho and there was a big wall around Jericho? But I told you that I'll help you to overcome that wall. I made everything happen just like I said I would. Whenever God gives you a history lesson and let you know where he brought you from, you better not forget where you come from. You better trust the power of the Almighty God. I somebody tell somebody that you can't act any kind of way in the house of a mighty God. Somebody got to have mind enough. Somebody got to have backbone enough to be like Brother Joshua. Brother Joshua got up and told the people of God, don't you remember where God had brought you from? And now I done told you all of these things. And you got to make a choice today. You got to make up in your own mind, what God are you going to serve? Joshua realized that you can do what you want to do. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to do what thus said the Lord our God. Anybody in the house this morning want to do what thus said the Lord our God? Don't you know when you come to God's house, you can't do things any kind of way. Because just like Joshua stood up one day, when you turn to the 21st chapter of the gospel according to St. Matthew, Jesus stood up and took control. Said, look at what's going on in my house. They're selling in the temple. He went into the temple house. When he got there in the courtyard, he turned over all of the tables. He had to remind them that you made my house. My house is the house of prayer. But you done made it into a den of thieves. You can't do anything any kind of way in the house of God. It depends on whose house you're in. If you're in the right house, you can lift up holy hands. If you're in the right house, you can dance a victory dance. If you're in the right house, you can tell God thank you. And don't worry about what your neighbor said. Not in my house, but in my house, we're going to serve the Lord our God. This is my Father's house. And in my Father's house, we're going to praise him. In my Father's house, we're going to lift him up. The word of God said that if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Anybody in the house want to help me this morning? I was glad when they said unto me, go into the house of the Lord our God. Now that you're in the house, somebody ought to tell him thank you. Now that you're in the house, somebody ought to ask God, come on and see about me. Now that you're in the house, in my Father's house, there's peace in the land. There's joy, unspeakable joy. I thank God that in this house, we're going to love God. We're going to praise God. We're going to let go and let God have his way. It depends on whose house you're in. In some houses, they don't praise God. But in this house, we're going to praise him. We're going to lift him up. We're going to open up our hearts and let the Lord our God in. For this is the house of the God. This is the house of prayer. I don't want God to stop by here and get upset and turn over the tables. But when he looked down upon us, I pray that he see us doing what he would have us to be doing. Love ye one another. Forgive one another. Pray ye one for another. And out of all that we do, we got to trust God with all of our heart. Joshua made a demand for his whole household. Joshua stood boldly and said, as for me and my house, can't nobody tell you how to run your house. But if you know anything about God, then God ought to be a part of your house. His worship plan, it ought to be a part of your house. And, you know, we have a youth church today. But when we teach our children what it is to know God in the house, you see, there's some things that go on in your house that you're going to have to talk to God about. Because one thing we have to know is that our babies, they're listening and they're watching. And then you had a nerd to say, where you get that from? In the house. And if it wasn't your house, you ought to be careful where you let your children go. Because at their friend's house, they may be able to do some things that you wouldn't allow at your house. So that's why it's good, mamas, call that other mama. Teach her and tell a lie before they know it. Call that mama and find out exactly what's going on. If that's where they say they're going to be, call mama and make sure that mama know that's where they say they're going to be. That's what you got to do in this day and time, because in our day and time, we weren't going out after dark no how. You didn't have to worry about it. But we're living in a new day. But the old ways must stand. That foundation of loving and taking care of your own. It depends on whose house you're in.